Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible, one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. Sherry will also serve you Mystery Moment, Scott's Stuff, and an anointed prayer for healing. And now, here is Sherry Medlock.
God bless you. Thank you, Mr. Announcer Scott Merson, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Please open your King James Bibles to the great book of Matthew, chapter 27, verse 1, where we left off last time. Matthew chapter 27, verse 1. Before we begin, as always, you are invited to come here every Wednesday at 6 p.m. for the live SoundCloud teaching. And then we pray fervently for America. And then I pray for everyone who comes one by one. The Holy Spirit intercedes for me with groanings which cannot be uttered, that I pray according to Father's will for them. And very often the Holy Spirit decides to flow through me with all nine gifts written in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. To him be the glory. That's Wednesday, 6 p.m. You're also invited to come each Sunday at 5 p.m. for the live radio broadcast taping, internet taping, and again, SoundCloud taping. I'm in Suntree, Florida. I'm right beside Scott Merson's The Produce Place. The marvelous Merson Produce Place is at the corner of Wickham Road and Panita Causeway. You'll see a sign, I'm right there, Sherry Medlock, Trumpet of Truth, 2565 Sellers Lane, Melbourne, Florida. And you're also invited to come here on Sunday, December 19th at 5 p.m. for our wonderful Christmas program. I have written you a play. It's called Messiah and the Manger. We have beautiful costumes, and everybody's going to portray a character in the Bible. Don't miss it. That's December 19th, Sunday, 5 p.m., Messiah and the Manger. And now, Matthew chapter 27, verse 1. From God's heart to my heart to your heart. In quietness is strength. In quietness is strength. As the curtain comes up, our precious Lord Jesus Christ has just been arrested and taken to the palace of the phony high priest Caiaphas. His beloved Peter just betrayed him three times, and the rooster sounded and announced that day was breaking.
Verse 1. When the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death.
Christians are all right, but those church folks will kill you.
Verse 2. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor.
Now, why did they do that? Because only the Roman government, and Pontius Pilate was a governor of the Roman army, or government there, only they could put someone to death. These phony church leaders had absolutely no power to kill Jesus, so they're going to take him to the Roman government so they would do it.
Verse 3. Then Judas, which had betrayed him,
Judas Iscariot,
when he saw that he was condemned,
underline that, when he saw that he was condemned. Judas, like all of the disciples, thought that Jesus came to establish his kingdom on earth that first time. And Judas wanted him to do that right then and there, because Judas liked money too much and he wanted to be the world's banker. It never occurred to Judas at that point that Jesus came to die to pay our sin debt. And what he tried to do, he thought if he pushed Jesus in a corner and they were trying to kill Jesus, he thought Jesus would say, nope, you're not going to kill me. And Jesus would establish his kingdom right then on earth, and then Judas could be the world banker. For he had seen Jesus on the edge of a cliff with a mob coming after him. He had seen Jesus make himself invisible. He knew he was God, so he honestly did this to cause Jesus to hurry up and establish his kingdom. But now he sees, my Lord, Jesus is actually going to let them kill him. Whoa, what would he do?
Repented.
What do you have to do to get saved? There are three steps. The second is repent. He repented. That means, I'm very sorry. I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to do that.
Himself. And brought again the 30 pieces of silver.
And repent also means to turn from, to stop what you were doing. He doesn't care about the money now. He gives it back. He has repented. He's sorry, and he's turned from that money thing. What else do we need?
To the chief priests and elders. Verse 4, saying, I have sinned.
The first thing you have to do to get saved is confess that you've sinned, for all have sinned to come short of the glory of God. He just said, I've sinned. He just repented. One more thing to do, believe in Jesus.
And that I have betrayed the innocent blood.
Innocent blood. There's nobody innocent, for all have sinned to come short of the glory of God. The only one innocent, and Judas knew that, is Almighty God, Jesus Emmanuel, God with us. He just confessed that Jesus is Lord. Don't be too hard on Judas. Haven't you betrayed the Lord?
And they said, what is that to us? See thou to that.
We don't care about your broken heart. We only care about killing Jesus.
Verse 5, and he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple, and departed and went and hanged himself.
In the book of Acts, I recently taught it. If you missed that, you can get it on WMIEFM.com on demand. In Acts chapter 1, verse 18, it says that after he threw the money down, Judas went out, and suddenly he was cut with a sword from his Adam's apple all the way down his front, and his insides fell out. It's pretty hard to hang yourself because you don't have any brains or any energy and cut yourself open at the same time. Judas had a lot of help. Also, in Acts 1, verse 18, right in there, there's a Greek word that says sometimes people choke on grief. Judas had a lot of help dying. These people, these phony church leaders, they say they're Judah. We love our brother Judah. But they're not. They're the synagogue of Satan, Revelation 2:9, Revelation 3:9. They're the Kenites, K-E-N-I-T-E-S. They're the citizens of Cain. Cain's the first murderer, and Cain's the child of the devil. And what they wanted to do, they had to get Judas out of the way because he could tell everybody that the church leaders were going to destroy the Messiah, and then they would lose their job and lose their money. So Judas had a lot of help dying. Don't you be too hard on Judas. Haven't you betrayed Jesus?
Verse 6, the chief priest took the silver pieces and said, it is not lawful to put them into the treasury because it is the price of blood.
Did you hear just what they just said? They just admitted that this was blood money. In other words, they knew they'd given the money so they could kill Jesus. Just once in a while, a crooked ruler who lies all the time, lies, 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 liar, liar, pants on fire. Sometimes he'll forget and say the truth. I think God pulls his veil and donkey trick. Kind of like Joe Biden. He lied to us about bringing the country together. He lied to us about no American will be left in Afghanistan. And he's lying to us about everything. And all of a sudden he said, Obama and I created the greatest election fraud ever known to man. Sometimes crooks forget and lie.
Verse 7, and they took counsel and bought with them the potter's field.
A potter's field is where you put broken pottery. You know, we're all broken pottery. You're broken, I'm broken. Our hearts are broken, our lives are broken, and our souls are broken. But you know what? Jesus can make any old cracked pot whole again.
Amen.
To bury strangers in.
What they would do, they'd also bury homeless people and people who had no family to bury them.
Verse 8, wherefore that field is called the field of blood unto this day.
We're bought with a price, not silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ's blood.
Verse 9. When was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet? Said,
that would be Jeremiah. Now, Jeremiah spoke it, but he didn't write it. Zechariah wrote it in Zechariah chapter 11, verse 12, but Jeremiah said it. Now, they're going to quote a little bit of what Zechariah said, Zechariah 11.
And they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him that was valued, whom they of the children of Israel did value. Verse 10. And gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord appointed me.
Zechariah chapter 11 and 12 prophesied this. It says, and he said, if it be good to you, what price will you give me? If you forbear, will you give me 30 pieces of silver? Zechariah 11 also says that they bought the potter's field with it. Everything was prophesied. God has foretold us all things. Jesus said in Mark 13, I have foretold you all things. All this going on in America, the world right now, has been foretold. And I've been teaching it to you from the Bible. Anything that God says is going to come true. Despite communism, socialism, Marxism, despite all the liars in the world, God's word is true. That's one thing you can count on. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And God is the word.
Amen.
Verse 11. And Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, art thou the king of the Jews?
Now you notice I didn't read the word Jew, which is in your English translation there. Jew is an incorrect word. The Greek word is Jews. It should have been translated Judah, J-U-D-A-H, just one of the 12 tribes. There are 12 tribes of Israel, Simon, Levi, Joseph, Benjamin, on and on, Gad, Asher, Zebulun, all of these. And of course, really there's only one tribe. Everybody in the world gets this wrong. All the preachers do. Jew is not a correct word. We love our brother Judah, but it's just one tribe. There are 12 tribes of Israel. They even had a spat after Solomon's son took over the kingdom of Israel. And two of them call themselves the house of Judah, Judah and Benjamin. And the other 10 call themselves the house of Israel. They kind of lost that name, Ephraim, Manasseh, and a lot of them are in America right now. There's just one tribe, but Jew is not the right word. These were not Judah anyway. We love our brother Judah. I wanted you to know that.
And Jesus said to him, thou sayest.
Jesus said, you said I'm the king of Judah, but Jesus is the king of Israel, and whosoever will.
Verse 12. And when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing.
He didn't say a word. You know why? Because Jesus is the word. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, John 1:1. And he is the Word made flesh. By the Word of God were the heavens and earth created. All things were created. The Word of his power. Words have power. If Jesus had opened his mouth, they would have all disintegrated before him. That's what you call controlled strength. He was quiet, in quiet is his strength, because he came to die. He was completing his mission. He was the one in charge, but it didn't look that way. Also, in Isaiah 53, verse 7, it says, he was oppressed and afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb led to the slaughter, as a sheep before the shearers is dumb, yet he opened not his mouth. In quietness is strength. Some of you are so weak because you never turn off the music or the cell phones. You never sit quietly before God. Have you ever sat before God 6 hours praying for someone? No music, no talk, nothing. Try it sometime. That's strength.
Amen.
13. Then said Pilate unto him, hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee?
Pilate had never heard one man accused of so many things. No one man could do in one lifetime all the things they were lying about Jesus. This has been going on all night. Lies, lies, lies. Pilate had a lot of crooks going there, and he couldn't understand why in the world Jesus would defend himself. Most of the people, everybody before Pilate would say, I didn't do it, I didn't do it. Don't make me die, don't make me die. Why, even in Aesop's fable, Br'er Rabbit said, "Oh, please don't throw me in that briar patch."
Right.
And Jesus wouldn't say a word. And quietness is strength.
Verse 14. And he answered him to never a word.
And quietness is strength. All of you better get that. The reason you're running hither, thither, and yon, always tired, you don't sit before God. You turn off the music, turn off the cell phone, turn off the people, turn off the radio, turn off the television. You and God. It's amazing what will happen to you if you'll do it on a regular basis.
Amen.
In so much that the governor marveled greatly.
He marveled. Why in the world doesn't this man defend himself? He knew Jesus was innocent. He had heard of him, raising the dead and casting out devils and cleansing the lepers and feeding the multitudes and giving the people hope who had lost all hope. Christ in us, our hope of glory.
Amen.
Verse 15. Now at that feast.
What feast? This is the feast of Passover. Every year, all of the children of God, Israel, would go up to Jerusalem to celebrate the feast of Passover. In Exodus 12, God told them to do that. Because at the time that the children of Israel had been in slavery in Egypt, God told Moses, tell all the family to take a lamb without spot, a lamb without blemish, and kill the Passover. The lamb is called the Passover lamb. Take the blood of that pure lamb and strike it on the doorpost. On the lintel, it goes down. On the two sides post, Hebrew Tav, the sign of a cross. And God says, when death sees the blood on the doorpost, and the sign of a cross, death will pass over you. So every year they would go up there to say, someday there's going to be a Lamb of God to take away our sins of the world. But this year, Jesus would be Christ, our Passover. In Acts chapter 12, verse 4, that word Easter is a mistranslation. It should read Passover. We're still supposed to celebrate Passover. It's just that our Lamb has already come. He died. He shed his blood. He arose from the dead. Happy Passover.
Amen. Amen.
The governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would.
The Roman government believed the children of Israel's religion was superstition, but there were so many of the children of Israel that they had to keep peace. So once in a while, they'd throw him a bone and say, I'm going to do something nice for you. I'll release one person to you. So to make them think that they were loving them. You know, the free stuff love.
Verse 16. And then had they a notable prisoner called Barabbas.
This was an infamous prisoner. His name was Barabbas. Another gospel tells us he was a murderer. Barabbas had led an insurrection against the Roman government and had murdered many, many people. So that's why he was there. The name Barabbas, it comes from the Hebrew. Bar is son. Abbas is Abba, father. Barabbas is son of the father. Now, wait just a minute. He's a murderer. Right beside him, we got Yahweh's Savior, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. We got two sons of the Father here. What's wrong here? Malachi chapter 4 says, at the end of time, we are there, end of age, not the time, but age, someone with the Elijah anointing will tell you there are two fathers. So the Elijah anointing is speaking to you. There are two fathers. There's God our Father, and he's the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. But there's also the devil, who is sometimes called a serpent. He's not a serpent. Here, that's one of his play-acting names. Read Revelation 12. The devil's name is Satan, serpent, dragon, devil. He's coming back as Antichrist, Lucifer, first earth age. The serpent, the devil, with a backbone, spine, central nervous system, beguiled Eve, whole exopatioed her, and bore Cain, Cain the first murder. Cain's descendants are called the Kenites, K-E-N-I-T-E-S. And they say they are Judah, but they're not. They're the synagogue of Satan. Revelation 2:9, Revelation 3:9. Barabbas is son of the devil. He's a Kenite. And there we have the son of the devil. We've got the son of God. What will they choose? Who will they choose? Who will you choose? Antichrist is coming back, calling himself Jesus.
Verse 17. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, who would ye that I release unto you? Barabbas,
the murderer,
or Jesus, which is called Christ.
Uh-oh, he just blew it. He's trying to save Jesus' life. He's going to try to save Jesus three times. When he said Christ, Pilate was confessing that Jesus is the Anointed One, the Messiah. Christ in the Greek is Christos, the Anointed One, and the Hebrew Mashiach, in other words, the Messiah. Did you hear that? Pilate just confessed before them that Jesus is the Messiah. I mean, I think we're going to see Judas and Pilate in heaven.
Verse 18. For he knew that for envy they had delivered him.
He knew what had happened there. He had heard how all of the church folks, the synagogue folks, were starting to follow Jesus. I don't blame them. You see, the Bible says that the sheep know the shepherd. They hear his voice. They know his voice. And no other shepherd will they follow. When the good shepherd came along, Jesus, all of those people who were God's children followed him. And they left the phony church leaders. And so they left them, and he didn't follow them. The phony church leaders were mad at Jesus because they thought he was stealing their sheep. He wasn't stealing them. Even a dumb sheep knows how to follow a shepherd. For goodness sake, if you've got sense enough, you'll do it. You wouldn't follow the fake one. Besides, they were losing their money, and that's all they cared about. Be careful. Don't go to a ministry where all they do is beg for money. You're supposed to give, but that should not be the theme, okay?
Verse 19. When he was set down at the judgment seat.
Okay, here comes a judge, Anvil. Okay, he's going to judge.
His wife sent it to him, saying...
Now, if he lived today, she would have sent him a text on a smartphone, but somehow she got him a message.
Have nothing to do with that just man.
Just man, righteous. Only God is righteous. Did you hear what she just said? Only God is righteous.
For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him.
God gives some people gifts of dreams. Your little maidservant here, I have that gift. I dream things. It's not spaghetti. I know what's going on with a lot of things in the world. You'd be surprised, and with you, because I love you, and God wants me to help you. They're not given to write books about and get money about. They're given to help other people. Pilate knew that his wife had that gift, and so he's going to listen to her. Husbands, I hope you listen to your wife, okay? He listened to her. And you know what? God is loving Pilate. God sees Pilate's heart. This is going to give him a chance to let Pilate get saved too. Because Pilate's going to try three times to save Jesus' life.
Verse 20. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas.
Lord have mercy.
And destroy Jesus.
The thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. Anytime you see anyone stealing elections, destroying a beautiful free country and lying to you about it, you know that's the devil's children. That's not God's children.
That's right.
Verse 21. The governor answered and said unto them, whither are the twain will ye that I release unto you?
I love classical literature. Whither? Which of the twain two? Which of the two?
And they said, Barabbas. Verse 22. And what then shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ?
That's the second time Pilate called him Christ. You know he's going to be saved. In the mouth of two or three minutes, the matter's established. He called him Messiah again. Pilate knew that Jesus was innocent.
They all said unto him, let him be crucified. Verse 23. And the governor said, why? What evil hath he done?
He healed the sick, he cleansed the lepers, he raised the dead, he cast out demons, he fed the multitudes, he's come to give hope to a world without hope. What in the world's he done? He had done nothing. He's perfect. A sinless Lamb of God come to take away the sins of the world.
But they cried out the more, saying, let him be crucified.
Other gospels say, he said, crucify him, crucify him. Psalm 22 describes them as the bulls of Bashan, like animals. These were the devil's children. They didn't want him to live. They wanted him to die. They didn't want a Messiah, because when the Messiah come, he would defeat death, whose name is the devil.
Verse 24, when Pilate saw how that he could prevail nothing.
The only thing he could do, couldn't save Jesus. He wanted to. Now watch what he does.
But rather than a tumult was made.
In other words, he had to keep the peace because the King Caesar had ordered Pilate to keep the peace. They couldn't have a tumult. They couldn't have people burning down houses and burning down churches and burning down businesses and stealing stuff in the street, you know, like we had last summer.
He took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person.
Just, this righteous man. He knew who he was.
See ye to it.
The Lord Jesus Christ is standing there. Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, is the living water. And Pilate washes his hands in water. Paul says in Ephesians, we're washed with water by the blood of God. Don't you know that comforted Jesus' heart? He saw Pilate. He knew that he was repenting, and the best he could, he was having his sins washed away. What can wash away your sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make you whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Verse 25, and they answered, be it unto all the people, and said, his blood be on us and on our children.
Back in Matthew chapter 23, Jesus was talking to these people, and he said, you are the generation of the serpent. Remember, the serpent is one of the devil's play acting names. It's not a snake. It wasn't a snake in the garden. That's a parable. Read Revelation 12. His name is a serpent, dragon, etc. And John the Baptist said, you're the brood of the serpent, the children of the serpent. Jesus said, you are the children of the devil. And Jesus said back there in Matthew 23, and all the blood of the first murderer, your father Cain, is a child of the devil, is on your hands. From the blood of righteous Zechariah, who was slain between the porch and the altar. This same Zechariah, this quote we just used, was slain between the porch and the altar by these people, and the blood of righteous Abel. Cain was a child of the devil, the first murderer, and he killed righteous Abel. And all that blood is on the devil's children. Now, don't get the devil's children mixed up with those who say they're Judah, but are not. We love our brother Judah. He's one of the tribes, but the Kenites, justice shall be served.
Verse 26, then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus.
What he did there, I do believe that Pilate was trying to use psychology. If he beat Jesus to a pulp, Isaiah says Jesus didn't even look like a man, maybe the bloodthirsty crowd would have enough. They would say, my God, the man's bleeding to death. 39 stripes he took. They had sharp things on that. They stripped his skin off, stripes there. They pulled out the kidneys. They pulled out body parts. Jesus took 39 stripes on his back. Isaiah 53:5, 2 Peter 2:24, with his stripes, we are healed. Amen. Jesus took the stripes. You take the healing. But you see, you have to believe it, and you have to confess it, and then you have to act on it.
He delivered him to be crucified. Verse 27. And then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus unto the common hall and gathered unto him the whole of the band of soldiers.
He's got a whole, probably hundreds of Roman soldiers around there. Look at that. Emmanuel, God with us. Indeed, the real commander in chief. If he had opened his mouth, all of them would have disintegrated. But he had that controlled strength. In quiet is his strength. He didn't come to kill them. He came to die. Amen. For you and for me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Verse 28. And they stripped him.
To embarrass him, they stripped him naked before everybody, blood and all.
And put on him a scarlet robe.
That was a symbol of majesty. They were making fun of him. Look at you now, King. You look funny there, bleeding all over.
Verse 29. And when they planted a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head.
In the book of Judges, it's a parable. There are trees there. One of the trees is a bramble or a thorn tree. It represents the devil. the devil, back in the first earth age, Isaiah 14, 7, I will be God. He always wanted to be God. He thought if he could get rid of Jesus, he could be God. So Jesus had a crown of thorns on him by the devil. The devil was sticking it to Jesus.
And a reed in his right hand.
It was mocking him because a real king would have a scepter. So it's funny that Jesus hold a reed, because the Bible says that Jesus, a broken reed, he will not break. You're broken, and I'm broken. Despite how big and strong we seem to be, everybody's broken. But Jesus loves you. If you'll trust in him, he won't break you. He'll make you whole.
And they bowed and kneeled before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Eunuchs.
They don't know how to pronounce it either, do they?
Verse 30. And they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head.
Look at that. The little clay pots beating the potter. Jesus is the head. That's all right. Judgment day is coming.
Verse 31. And after they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him.
The Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He came to die for you and for me. In quietness is strength. I pray you love him more, and I pray you are blessed.
Amen. Amen.
At this time, I usually introduce to you the owner of the produce place, a great father, a great husband, man of God, my twin friend, Scott Merson. Scott Merson is here, but he just survived 6 hours of dental surgery. So he said, I'd rather not talk tonight. We love you, Scott. I sat there and prayed for you every hour. And also, they scheduled him 2 hours earlier. I prayed those hours, 11 to 1. Then I got the notice that they're going to go 6 hours later. So I'm praying there. Oh, Lord, have mercy.
Amen.
But he's well.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'll answer the prayer. Great teeth, okay. Great teeth. Hallelujah. Now, before I pray for healing, I want to get anyone saved. I don't save you. Jesus does. I want you to be saved. So if you're not saved in this room, well, in this room or out in cyberspace, all over the world, wherever you are there, pray this prayer with me, and the Lord will save you right now. Here we go. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I repent of all my sins.
I repent of all my sins.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
I turn from them.
I ask forgiveness for all my sins.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. Amen, amen. Welcome to the family of God.
Amen.
Now,
Hallelujah.
The Bible tells us that confession is made into salvation. You must tell someone. Words have power. You may tell me. Anyone out there in cyberspace want to call me? my announcers are about to give you my telephone number after this program goes off. At the end of the program, I'll give you my telephone number. Feel free to call me and leave that message on my voicemail. I'll get the message and I will pray for you, okay? Now, at this time, I pray for those who are sick. We just had this wonderful thing in the lesson. Jesus took 39 stripes on his back. One of those stripes was for whatever ails you. Kor Shalemakatua, in the name and the power of Jesus, those of you who are suffering from migraine headaches, with Jesus' stripes, those migraine headaches are healed. Kor Shalemakatua, those of you who are suffering with arthritis, bone trouble, problems in your bones and joints, Jesus took that on himself. Diabetes, Jesus took it on himself. Heart disease, Jesus took it on himself. Congestion, fever, infection, COVID virus, flu virus, pneumonia, any kind of thing, Jesus took it on himself. Leukemia, arthritis, any kind of thing, God took it on himself. With Jesus' stripes, you are healed. He said his word had healed you. He restores health and cure to you. The Son of Righteousness rides with healing in his wings. We thank you, Lord. The healing virtue goes out all over America, all over Pakistan, South Africa, West Africa, Canada, New Zealand, Austria, Chile, all over America. and with Jesus' stripes, we are healed.
Amen.
And we all say,
I agree in Jesus' name.
Your love line of the week from me is very short. It's just two words. But it's one of my many mottos I live by. It'll help you. So from my heart to your heart, love gives.
Amen.
Love gives. Amen. So go and do likewise, okay?
Amen.
The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Nothing is given you to keep, so go and tell. This is your second best friend, Sherry Medlock. Your best friend is Jesus. I can't wait until next time when you and I get together as a family of God to hear the joyful sound of
the trumpet of truth.
Thank you for listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. Sherry invites you to call her for prayer at 321-632-4631. Again, 321-632-4631. We can't wait until next week at the same time when you join us and hear the joyful sound of the Trumpet of Truth.
above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark streets shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. For Christ is born of Mary and gathered all above. While mortals sleep, the angels keep their watch of wandering love. Oh, morning stars, together descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell. Come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel, our Lord Emmanuel.
You are listening to WMIE, today's Modern Worship, 91.5 FM.
storm inside, it brings me to my knees. Nowhere to hide, this weight is crippling. Come speak to the sea that's raging inside of me. All of this worry to you I will release. I cast my cares at your feet. Take it.
because we have heard on high. Sweetly singing o'er the plains.
You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, Vieira, FM 102.3.
Is it true?
Up on the mountain, where your love captured me, where finally I'm free, this I know. Up on the mountain, where you taught my soul to sing, amazing grace, the sweetest thing, this I know. And then, the storm rushing in, and here I am again, this I know. Take me up to where I was when I never wanted more than you. Lift me up to feel your touch. It wouldn't be that much for you. This I know.